Amen.
If you look at your bulletin this morning and were expecting to see Jim Lynham up here with his guitar, you'll notice that ain't happening. The best laid plans, they say, and certainly this morning we were all set. We had our schedule laid out and everything else. Brother Jim called yesterday. He is feeling under the weather this morning. Was not able to be with us, so we did some emergency shuffling around. And fortunately, we were kind of packed tonight. And what I've asked Miss Kathy to do, and she graciously agreed to accommodate, was to step in and sing this morning instead of this evening. But never fear, you have at least one good singing session tonight. The children are leading off the service, as they always do on the last Sunday of the month, and so we're looking forward to that as well. But this morning, Miss Kathy has graciously agreed to advance her schedule and sing.
Ready?
Do I have any young people like to talk to me today? Have y'all got defective hands? Uh-oh, speaking in tongues. There's nothing wrong with your hands. See, as you get older, your hands get bigger. You see that? And one day your hands, well, yours might never be as big as mine. Yeah. But there's, you know, your hands get bigger as you get older. And used to be I thought I could do anything with my hands, but something I found out as I get older, I know, is that I need to be in the hands of Jesus. Yeah. And see, there's a God who loves me. He's got bigger hands than that. Oh, you've got money. Well, that's nice. You bribing me to hush. See, there's somebody who has bigger hands than I have, and his hands are big enough to hold all of us in his hand. And his name's Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, when we give our life to Jesus, he says, I'll hold you in my hand. And he says, I'll give you eternal life, and nobody can take you out of my hand. Amen. That's a good thing. I like Amen. That. Because I love Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to wrap my hand around you. You know, when I'm scared, it's nice to have somebody to hold my hand. Y'all ever get scared? No. You got a dollar. You're not scared, are you? Wait till you grow up and have to pay the rent. You realize that ain't going to do it. We're going to put ourselves in the hands of Jesus. I think we're going to go to Children's Church and have a good time. And we'll learn about Jesus. So let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for these precious young people. I pray, dear Jesus, that you will lift them up. Teach them, Lord, that your hands are big enough to hold them. Lord, when the time is right, bring them to know you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Y'all are all very good. You want a coloring book? Be careful not to fall. Yeah. You are precious. You want to come in?
Just head down there.
All right.
Go ahead and take
mine. Right. Follow the leaders. Don't fall now. Don't fall. All right.
No.
What a good looking bunch.
Here we go.
We've had Brother Bob Pittman with us the last couple of years. God has really blessed us through his ministry. So, Brother Bob, would you come and lead us in the Word of God?
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Joy to be back with you again. It's now for my third time with you. And the Lord has given us a beautiful morning to start a revival. I asked the first service this morning, how many of you would say, Brother Bob, the Lord has blessed my life?
Yeah.
Amen.
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 How many of you would say, Brother Bob, I really do love the Lord Jesus?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now I'm going to ask you a third question. Don't raise your hand. Do you love him enough to give him four nights this week? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Do you love him enough to give him four nights this week? I hope that you do, and I trust that you do, and I hope you'll be here every night and that you'll bring folks with you. If you come and the folks from the earlier service come, we'll have a full house every night, and we'll look forward to seeing what God is going to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. In the first service, I shared a message out of Mark chapter 3 on who is Jesus. And what are you going to do with him? Those are the two most important questions in life, by the way. There aren't any questions that are more important than that. Who is he, and what are you going to do with it? But now I want us to look this morning at something he said in one of his most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. If you have found it, say amen.
Amen.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now look down in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There is no doubt that Jesus Christ is the greatest preacher who ever lived. Because every time he opened his mouth, he spoke the word of God, because Jesus is God. And every word he said is God's word.
That's right.
Every famous preacher has at least one sermon for which they're pretty well known. Dr. J. Harold Smith was well known for his sermon, God's Three Deadlines. Dr. Vance Havner, well known for his sermon on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Dr. R.G. Lee, famous for his sermon on Payday Someday. Well, Jesus has a sermon for which he is well known. It is called the Sermon on the Mount, and it is recorded in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. It is an amazing sermon, and let me tell you why. He started with 12 folks in the audience. His disciples were the whole congregation when he started this sermon. But when he got through with this sermon, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there hearing him preach. Chapter 8 says he comes down from the mountain where he had been giving the Sermon on the Mount, and there were great multitudes. It doesn't say a great multitude. It says there were great multitudes, which means hundreds and hundreds of people. And so this little sermon started with 12 folks, and it ended with hundreds and hundreds listening to him. I have never preached a sermon like that in my life. But it was an amazing sermon. And he covers a lot of different subjects in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about how to be happy. He starts out with the Beatitudes. Blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. And the word blessed means happy. And so he starts out talking about how to be happy. But as he goes on in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about a lot of other things. He talks about how to deal with worry. You ever worry about anything? He talks about that. He talks about forgiveness. He talks about how to give an offering. He talks about temptation. He talks about marriage. He talks about divorce. He talks about a lot of different things in the Sermon on the Mount. But when he comes close to the end, he begins to talk about eternity. And that's truly one of the most important things we have to deal with in this life. And that is eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? You see, you're not like a tadpole. You're not like a frog. You're not like a dog or a cat. You don't just get born and you live and you die and that's all there is to it. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. And you don't have an option to check out. One fellow said, well, not me. When I die, I'm just going to the grave and that's going to be it. You don't have an option to check out of eternity. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. That's right. Every man, every woman, every teenager, every boy, every girl, every person of every color, every race is going to spend eternity somewhere. And so in the verses that I've read for you, which come from the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, I want us to consider what Jesus said about eternity. Three things I share with you. Number one, Jesus said there are two places and only two places where you may spend eternity.
That's right.
Now that's not what Brother Bob said, and that's not what Brother David said. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said there are only two places where you may spend eternity. One place is the place that you and I call hell. If you were going to pick one word to describe hell, what word would you pick? You might say, well, Brother Bob, I think if I were going to pick one word to describe hell, I probably would use the word fire. Well, that would be certainly an appropriate term, because the Bible teaches that hell is a place of fire. Real, literal, burning fire. Hell is a place of fire. You might say, well, Brother Bob, if I were going to pick one word to describe hell, I think I would use the word torment. And again, that would be an acceptable term. Jesus talked in Luke 16 about the rich man who died and went to hell, and he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. The word torment means unbearable, excruciating, agonizing pain.
Right.
And hell is a place of torment. You might say, well, Brother Bob, if I were going to pick one word to describe hell, I think I would use the word sorrow. And again, that would be a perfectly acceptable term, because hell is a place of sorrow. Nobody ever laughs in hell. Nobody ever smiles in hell. Nobody ever grins in hell. The Bible says that in hell there is constant weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of sorrow. But in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus chose one word to describe hell, he did not use the word fire, though he could have. And he did not use the word torment, though he could have. And he did not use the word sorrow, though he could have. Look in verse 13. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way. And here's the phrase Jesus used to describe hell, which leadeth to destruction. That's the word Jesus used to describe hell, a place of destruction. But what does that mean? Well, let me tell you first what it doesn't mean. It does not mean annihilation. You know, you pick up a piece of wood, you throw it in the fire, it'll catch on fire, it'll burn up, and it'll soon disintegrate into ashes. That's annihilation. But that's not what hell is. It is not a place where people go and then they just burn up and cease to exist. Hell is not a place of annihilation. The word destruction means ruin. R-U-I-N. Ruin. And that's what hell is. Hell is a place of ruin. Every hope you ever hoped for, if you end up in hell, your hope will be ruined. Every dream you ever dreamed will be ruined if you go to hell. Every plan you have ever made will be ruined if you go to hell. Because dreams never come true in hell. And hopes never come to reality in hell. And plans never come to fruition in hell. Hell is a place of eternal ruin.
That's right.
Aren't you glad there's another place?
Amen.
Somebody asked Brother Bob, has anybody ever told you to go to hell? Yes, they have, but I'm not going. I've made arrangements to miss because there is another place. And that other place is a place called heaven.
That's right.
If you were going to pick one word to describe heaven, what word would you pick? You might say, oh, Brother Bob, I think I would use the word happy. And oh my, heaven is going to be a happy, happy, happy place. You might say, well, Brother Bob, if I were going to pick one word to describe heaven, I think I would pick the word beautiful. And my, that would be an appropriate term. An old, old song says, how beautiful heaven must be. Heaven is a beautiful place. The Bible says the streets are paved with gold, the walls are made of jasper, the gates are made of pearl. In the book of Revelation, John saw heaven and he said, when I saw it, it was like a bride adorned for her husband. I've been preaching for 54 years. I've been preaching a long, long, long time. And in those 54 years, I have performed many, many weddings. And before I ever do a wedding, young couples come and visit me in my office, and we have a series of premarital counseling sessions. And sometimes when I was performing weddings as a pastor and a young couple would come in before me, I would look at this boy and I would look at that girl and I'd look at the boy and I'd look at the girl. And sometimes I couldn't help but wonder, why does this boy want to marry such a homely looking girl? Now usually it was, why does this pretty girl want to marry such an ugly boy? But sometimes it really was the other way around. You see, God didn't make everybody a 10. God made a lot of 2s and 3.5s along the way. I promise you he did. But you know that little girl, she might not be the prettiest girl in the church. She might not be the prettiest girl in her family. But I tell you, on the night of the wedding, she's been in the beauty parlor all day long. Every hair's in place, her makeup is immaculate, and she has that beautiful white wedding gown on, and those back doors swing open, and she has her dad by her side, and those flowers in her hand, and she starts down the aisle. She is a bride adorned for her husband, and she is absolutely beautiful. She may never look that good again the rest of her life, but when she is a bride adorned for her husband, she is a sight to behold. She's beautiful. And John says, when I saw heaven, it was like a bride adorned for her husband, a beautiful, beautiful place. You might say, well, Brother Bob, if I were going to pick one word to describe heaven, I think I would pick the word healthy. And again, that would be a perfectly good term, because heaven is going to be a healthy place. The Bible says there'll be no sickness there. There'll be no pain there. There'll be no sorrow there. Praise God. Heaven is a healthy, healthy place.
That's right.
But when Jesus chose one word to describe heaven, he did not use the word happy. He did not use the word beautiful. He did not use the word healthy. Look in verse 14. He says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and here it is, which leads unto life. Life. That's the word he used to describe heaven. Heaven is a place of life. There's not anything dead about it. I preach in a lot of dead churches. But there's not anything dead about heaven. It's a place of life. Of life. And so Jesus said, there are two places where a person may spend eternity. Hell, a place of ruin, or heaven, a place of life. Let me tell you a second thing Jesus said about eternity. He said that more people go to hell than go to heaven. More people go to hell than go to heaven. Now look what he said in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And now notice this, and many there be that go in thereat. Look at the next verse. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And look at this, and few there be that find it. Now folks, that's not what Brother Bob said. And that's not what Brother David said. Jesus said more people go to hell than go to heaven.
That's right.
Well, Brother Bob, how many is many? I do not know. Well, how few is few? I do not know. But I know this, many is always more than few. And you can be talking about ears of corn, you can be talking about watermelons, you can be talking about tomatoes, you can be talking about kids, and many is always more than few. Right. Jesus said many are going to hell and few are going to heaven. Now why? How could that possibly be so? I mean, if hell is as bad as the Bible says it is, and it is, and if heaven is as wonderful as the Bible says it is, and it is, then why would more people go to hell than to heaven? Can I tell you why? Because it is easier to go to hell than it is to go to heaven. That's why Jesus said the way to hell is wide and broad. I mean, it's just easier to go to hell than it is to go to heaven. Do you know what a person has to do to go to hell? Would you like me to tell you again? Nothing. You know, sometimes people say, well, preacher, I never robbed a bank. You don't have to rob a bank to go to hell. Well, preacher, I never murdered anybody. You don't have to murder anybody to go to hell. Well, preacher, I've never committed adultery. You don't have to commit adultery to go to hell. You don't have to do anything. You see, the truth is we're messed up when we're born on planet Earth. The Bible says we were conceived in sin. And that sin nature, which is there when we're born, the older we get, the more it comes to be active. You tell a little 2-year-old child, don't you do that. And they go right ahead and do it. And you know they did it, and they know they did it, and God knows they did it. And you ask them, did you do that? Uh-uh. Now, who teaches 2-year-olds how to lie? Nobody.
That's right.
They're just doing what comes
naturally.
Yeah, you've learned, see? They're just doing what comes naturally. So you don't have to do anything to go to heaven. But there's some stuff you have to do to go to heaven. First of all, you have to repent of your sin. You
That's
can't
right.
go to heaven apart from repentance. The Bible says, except you repent, you perish. So you have to repent. And then you have to call upon Jesus to be the Savior and the Lord of your life. You have
right.
to, by faith, reach out to Him and receive Him into your life. And so the reason more people go to hell than to heaven is simply because it's just a lot easier to go to hell. One last thing Jesus said about eternity, and I'll be through. He said there are two places where you may spend eternity, hell or heaven. He said more people go to hell than go to heaven. But the last thing He said about eternity in His Sermon on the Mount is this. There are many people who go to hell who thought they were going to heaven.
That's right.
There are many people who go to hell who thought they were going to heaven. Look there in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now I want to ask you, who are these people who call Jesus Lord but do not go to heaven? Who are these people who call Jesus Lord but do not go to heaven? I'll tell you who they are. They are people who walk down the aisles of our church. They shake the preacher's hand. They fill out a card. They get baptized, become members of the church, but they never got saved.
That's right.
Amen.
Folks, in my lifetime now, I have preached over 1,000 revival meetings all across this nation, from California to New York, from Florida to the state of Washington. I've preached over 1,000 revivals. And let me tell you what happens in a lot of churches, Sometimes the Holy Spirit will come and put people under conviction. And I've seen them come down the aisle, sometimes in tears. I've seen them come, and the pastor will will say, why did you come today? I want to be saved. God bless you. Sit here on the front pew. And they'll sit on the front pew, and somebody will come with a little clipboard, and they'll say, what's your name? Where do you live? What's your phone number? Why'd you come today to be saved? God bless you. And then at the when the invitation is over, they give that card to the pastor, and the pastor says, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you John Smith. John, come stand right here. John came today, and John has been saved. He came to give his heart to the Lord, and everybody says, amen, praise the Lord. But I want to ask you, when did John get saved? John didn't get saved. John walked an aisle, he shook hands with the preacher, and the folks in the congregation voted him in. And yet John never repented of sin, he never trusted Christ, he never put his faith in Jesus, he never asked God to come in and save him. And folks, I want to tell you, that's the way it happens in church after church after church after church after church. You say, Brother Bob, are you trying to make us doubt our salvation? Well, my soul, no. How could I do that? Hey, if Jesus is in your life, how could this North Alabama preacher make you doubt that? Hey, nobody here can make me doubt that I'm married to Cheryl Anderson Pittman. We've been married 49 years, and you can't make me doubt it. I was there when it happened.
That's right.
And you can't make me doubt my salvation. I was there when it happened. Amen. Jesus is in my life. Well, Brother Bob, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Hey, who are you trying to kid? You mean to tell me Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, the Son of God, who lived and died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven? You mean he can live in your heart and you not know it? No. He didn't come in to play hide and seek. He came in to take over.
That's right.
Amen.
And so Jesus said, there are many who go to hell who thought they were going to heaven. And some of them are pretty high profile folks. He said, many were saying to me, Lord, did we not prophesy? Do you know what prophesying is? Prophesying is not telling the future. Prophesying is preaching.
That's right.
There are many who stand behind pulpits with an open Bible and preach sermons who've never been saved.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And then he said, many will say, Lord, did we not cast out demons in thy name? They claim to have great supernatural power. Why, you see those clowns on television every day. Every day. They can breathe on folks and half a congregation will pass out. I'm telling you, that's nonsense.
Amen. That's right.
But they claim to have great supernatural power, but Jesus said, I never knew them. And then some have done great and good deeds. Lord, did we not do many wonderful works in your name? Lord, I carried soup to my neighbor when they were sick. I carried their kids to school. I helped make a mortgage payment when they were out of work. Good works, yeah. But Jesus said, I never knew them. Hey, you can't work hard enough, and you can't have enough power, and you can't preach enough sermons to earn your way into heaven.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's not what Brother Bob said. That's not what Brother David said. That's what Jesus said.
That's right.
There are two places, and only two, where you may spend eternity. Hell, a place of ruin, or heaven, a place of life. More people go to hell than go to heaven because it's so much easier. And many go to hell who thought they were going to heaven. You know, I've had some crazy things said to me through these years, but I think perhaps the craziest. One man said to me, he said, preacher, all that matters to me is when I die, people will think I'm in heaven. What good is it? What good is it if everybody thinks you're in heaven when in reality you're in hell? What good is that? It's not any good at all. Eternity is too long to be wrong.
That's right.
Too long to be wrong. I want to ask you this morning, if you were to die, if you were to walk out that door and have a major heart attack, if you were to get on the street and be hit by an 18-wheeler truck and be killed instantly, if you died today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Well, Brother Bob, I think so. Oh, no, 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 no. Well, Brother Bob, I sure hope so. No, 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 no. Do you know? Do you know for sure that Jesus is in your life? And if you died today, you'd spend eternity with him. Would you bow your heads? Lord, we've looked at these verses out of your sermon, not mine, yours. Lord, I didn't preach these things. You preached these things. Lord, there's been a listening spirit here today, Lord. The people have listened. There's been a holy hush in the house. I believe you've been speaking to hearts. And Lord, if there's anybody here who's not sure where they will spend eternity, I pray that as we begin to sing "Just As I Am" without one plea, I pray that they will step out into an aisle and come and tell Pastor David, "Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be saved today." God, and we'll give you the praise for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand together. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation. And if God has dealt with you, I want you to come right now. By the way, will you? Come on. Right now. Number 307. Sermons I've preached. I cannot talk about how many good deeds I've done. I cannot talk about how many times I've sung in the choir. I cannot talk about how much money I've given to the church. I have no plea at all except the blood of Jesus was shed for me and he invited me to come. Amen. Folks, that's our only hope. His blood and his invitation.
Amen.
You see, when the invitation is extended, it's never the pastor's invitation. It's never the church's invitation. It's the invitation of God. He invites you to come. Sing that same verse again, and if no one comes, the service will be the pastor. Just sing that first verse again, will you?
Just
feast from the Word of God. God has given us a great blessing today. I pray that you'll go home, digest that, that if you're not where you are, need to be with Christ, I pray that you'll receive him. You don't have to walk this aisle to be saved. You can be saved at home. But you do need to make it public when you are saved.
Amen.
I am not ashamed of my Jesus.
No,
Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. So salvation is always a public time, a time of celebration. I pray that God's touched your heart. You'll be back at 5 for training union. 6 o'clock, a revival continues. Come back, be a part. Bring somebody with you if you can. God is good.
All the time. God is good.
Let's close with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Senior Moment. I'm looking at you. You.
Joel.
Pray for my mind. I knew your name, I just couldn't remember. But Joel, we can close this prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We just thank you for the message that we received. Yeah. Lord, if anybody's here that doesn't know you, Lord, we hope that they just think about the words that were preached. Not only by the preacher here this morning, but directly from Jesus when he preached. Lord, we ask that you go with us as we leave this place and bring us back at the next appointed time. It's in your most wonderful holy name we ask and pray.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good night.